Our direction this morning is to talk about love. And in Sunday school, I talk about communication. That's a big part of expressing love. And specifically in the home. Speaking properly, rightly at home. Sometimes that gets overlooked. I think we need to be very careful about that. And so I got some points here that I want to run down from the Word of God, what it says about that. It's a very important communication. Some have a gift of communication. Others, we have to work at it. But it's so important. I'll start with this. A mature-looking lady had an appointment with a marriage counselor and told him flat out, "I want to divorce my husband." Well, I'm talking about love. To this, the counselor replied, "Well, do you have any grounds?" She answered, "Why, yes, we have almost an acre." The puzzled counselor asked her, "You don't understand. What I want to know is, do you and your husband have a grudge?" The lady answered, "Well, actually, we don't. But we do have a nice carport." "Don't have a grudge." At this, the counselor shook his head and said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I just don't see any reason why you should divorce your husband." The lady looked at the counselor and said to him, "It's just that the man can't understand a word I say." Communication. Good communication makes a difference. Bad communication makes a difference. Unfortunately, good and effective communication can be so lacking in our relationships. We have to work at it. Husband and wives construing what each other said or what the intent was behind it can, misconstruing, can cause problems, issues. Teens feeling totally misunderstood because of the lack of healthy, open conversation. There's got to be communication. And no more important place than in the home. So I'm going to talk about this morning. While we may experience success in this area of communication out in public, many find it much more difficult to achieve wholesome communication within the walls of their homes. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now you think about that a little bit. What God is saying, this is a very powerful member, and James tells us that in James chapter 3. Very, very powerful, your tongue. And it's to be used for the good. And again, the importance of it being used properly in a home. Spouses, with children. Aren't you glad that God knew our verbal dilemma long before we experienced it? And has provided in his word the guidance and instruction necessary for success? That's what I'm talking about this morning, what the Bible says. The Bible to help us. And so I've got a number of things. Number one, I would say this. The Bible tells us to be Spirit-filled, I would say Spirit-controlled. Be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. That makes all the difference when it comes to communication. When I'm under control by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm a lot better husband, better father, better grandfather, better great-grandfather. Still working on the pet ownership. James 3, verse 8 says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." We need to start by accepting that fact and that we need God's help to control our tongues. It's a very powerful thing, and accept the fact you don't have the power to control it properly all the time. We need to be under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, we're familiar with this verse. "And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So that contrast, comparison, contrast, one is, it's speaking of influence. If you're under the influence of alcohol, you can get arrested driving a car. Because you're not doing right. You're not thinking right. You're doing wrong. You're slow. But being under, and it's not to say that we speak like we're drinking, but sometimes our speech is not what it should be, our communication in the home. And be mindful that communication is not limited to verbal words. A lot of communication that goes on, you see. I remember my father, if we got giggling or something at the table and enough was enough, you know, it was always good to have some humor and fun, family and everything. But if we went overboard, all my father would have to do is this. It was effective communication because we knew what could follow communication. Be spirit controlled under his influence. Being filled with the Spirit means being under his control and influence. We are influenced by the people we hang around and listen to. So the instruction is hang around with God. Spend time with him. And how do you do that? In the Word of God. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And notice there, these first two verses. How David opened up the Psalms. Psalm 1. The first two verses. The Bible says, blessed, and that could be construed as happy, goes hand in hand, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not influenced by them, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is the guy that he's blessed if he doesn't. He doesn't hang with that crowd. And while we spend a lot of time saying that to our teenagers, and rightfully so, because we understand the impact and the influence that other teenagers can have on our kids. So we want to guard their thoughts. And that's why these phones, I'm telling you, parents need to guide those things. Watch over those things. Because the outside influence is coming into the minds of our young people. But it's not limited to our young people. It's us too. People you hang with influence you. Christians are supposed to influence people. But notice verse 2, but his delight, this is the blessed man that doesn't hang with that crowd. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What is his influence? He's hanging around with God. Therefore, he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And therefore will be spirit controlled. Which is the very important thing that overrides everything. You know, Ephesians 4:29, another familiar verse, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. But let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That which is good. Who you hang with can influence how you speak and how you communicate with others. Hanging with those that speak kindly, hanging with God, being spirit-controlled, spirit-influenced. We speak differently. We speak like God. The Bible says God is a God of love. Are you a husband of love? A wife of love? A teenager of love? I mean, communication is? That's what we perceive? You're a person of love? By your communication. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. That's controlling your mouth, teaching your mouth. And addeth learning to his lips. So there's much wisdom, and blessed is that man who, with the proper influence that he allows into his mind and heart, will communicate the same to those around them. The spirit-controlled family member is a blessing to other family members. Are you? Are you a blessing in your home? Maybe it was not as spirit-controlled as we should be, but that's point number one. Hang with Jesus. Hang in the Word of God. Be influenced. Be spirit-controlled. Number two, be careful what you're teaching. You realize, again, talking about the home, young people in the home, you are always teaching. It doesn't have to be some formalized sit down, take out a notebook and a pen, I'm going to teach you something. Now, there's place for instruction like that, proper format to get a lot, but you're always teaching, whether you think so or not. You talk about spirit-controlled, you're teaching whether you're spirit-controlled or not, and if they should be. Be careful what you're teaching. Daily we communicate those things that are important to us, quite naturally. Our family hears our conversations, observes our behaviors, and most often speak and behave the same way. Chip off the old block phrase refers to a young person mirroring that of dad or mom. We're teaching them. So how helpful is it to our young people for mom to be yelling at dad? Dad to be swearing at the TV? Which may happen today. I don't want that to happen. Mom gossiping on the phone. These are not all private conversations or actions. We're teaching, and they're listening, they're observing. And again, so often they mirror what we say and do. God taught his children how to live, and he expects us to teach our children how to live. Again, we naturally speak what's on our minds, what's prevalent to us. So very important to feed your mind properly. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5. And notice, beginning at verse 19. We already read 18, and be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But notice, if you would, verses 19 to 21 with me. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is feeding on the right thing. It intimates a mindset, a demeanor. These are happy people, melody in your heart, giving thanks unto God. There's a Christian attitude being fed on the Word of God in spiritual songs and hymns, biblically based words that the Holy Spirit uses and affects our minds and our hearts. And that is demonstrated. It's manifested what's in here, comes out here. And therefore, we teach that when we're in there. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Again, how important our communication is. And again, it's not limited to what we say, but very, very important words are. But we're always teaching. Deuteronomy chapter 4, notice beginning of verse 10 only. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I, so speaking, the Lord speaking, I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Do right. Fear God. Love God. Serve God. Your kids are watching. You're teaching. You're communicating. And they know when it's fake. They know when it's facade. They know when it's just religion. Or if it's real. Go to Deuteronomy 6, a couple chapters over. Beginning at verse 6. And these words, the word of God, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and it shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's an all-consuming thing. We have to be very careful, particularly parents that have kids still in the home, that you don't rely upon what they get at the church, in the Sunday school teacher or junior church program, that's all that they get about God and the Word of God. It's a responsibility of each dad to teach, and moms, to teach the Word of God into their children. And not just verbally teach and instruct from the Word of God, but practice it and live it, that they might see it. Because they're going to replicate us. They're learning. We're always teaching. Be careful what you're teaching. Be spirit controlled. Be careful what you're teaching. Number 3, be steadfast in correction. a very big responsibility for a parent in his communication, her communication, is disciplining, is communicating that they might know authority and obedience to authority, respect for authority. If that's not in place in the home, they're going to have a hard time respecting, reverencing, loving, and serving God. If they don't do it with the one they can see, how will they do it with the one they cannot see? It's foundational. It's a great responsibility. We should speak firmly, clearly, and consistently when we warn our children. Do this means do this. It does not mean do this when you get a chance. Now, sometimes it doesn't matter. But the expectation of a parent with a child, they're teaching authority and obedience in love, but with some firmness. Not a taskmaster, not with an angry spirit. We must mean what we say and say what we mean. No idle threats. You may see some parent in the store, grocery store, get the kid, and kid can't throwing stuff or out of the basket, whatnot. Stop that. Stop that. I'll take you out. Stop that. I'll take you out. Stop that. I take you out. You know what stop that, I'll take you out means? Nothing. Stop you, I'm going to take you out, means there's a little business going to be had in the vehicle. It has to be followed through. No idle threats. Because you're lying to them. Say what you mean and follow through. We must follow through to ensure that our children respect our verbal authority. It's sad to see a child, the parent keeps saying, do this, don't do this, don't do this, or whatever, and there's no change, no adherence to the authority. Whose fault is that? It's not the child. We naturally desire obedience from our children, and so does God. He desires obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 5, back up from 6. Verse 29, the Bible says, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. It's a family thing, this obedience to God. Go all the way to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. God loves us like a father, and he treats us like a perfect father, and we should learn and follow the instruction of our Heavenly Father. Here comes this matter of father-son. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5. Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, that's God talking to you. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If God's not chastening you when you need it, does he love you? Not a responsible father. The same applies in the home. For whom the father in any home loveth, he chasteneth. He's preparing, he's molding and guiding that young heart, that young mind, its behaviors, its thought, its thinking, thought processing, guiding for adulthood, for a Christian life. That responsibility is big, but it's for all moms and dads. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? He's not a son. He doesn't chasten. He doesn't care. Let you do what you want. With God, his children, there's a reckoning. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Agreed? Absolutely. Ask the kids. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There's profit to be had in their lives when the diligence is put in by a parent. And we all get tired. There was a time when I was tired. I was not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect grandparent. But there are expectations that God has of us to do the best we can. And I believe if you'll do the best that you can, God will take care of all your fallacies. Verse 12, Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. You know, the one that's been chased and whatnot. Encourage them. And I would say this. It's a wonderful thing that after some discipline has been done to your child, that you hug them. Love on them. One thing I caught, you know, early when we first got saved, our discipline was what I grew up with. In a French Catholic home, there was discipline. And the expectation, or else. And pretty much that was the dad that I was, got saved and decided to learn with the Bible. Pastor Borg was teaching this class, child training. And mostly it was all women that came, sat over here. We're all still pews, boy, back then. But I was at that because that I could go because I was thrilled because I didn't work till 3:30 midnight. So I can come. And I'm listening intently. And he gave such wisdom, such great wisdom. And where was I going with that? See, my mind went to Pastor Boylan. What a great teacher he was and how effective he was in my life and yours, you that knew him. But discipline. Oh, the hug, yes, the hugging afterwards. And one of the things he said was, you know, the Bible says the rod of correction. And, well, you know, one thing I gave my kids, if they needed WAP, you know, live stream, I don't care, the Bible teacher. And I give them WAPs on the butt to train them, you know. Discipline. You know, God ordained corporal punishment affecting the flesh. Why? Because you, the flesh registers. Ooh, ow. Registers with the brain. Dad says no. That follows because you didn't obey. It isn't long before you know they don't do it. As God ordained instruction, you know. And Pastor Boyd told us the rod of correction and then hung them with your arms. In other words, don't let the child associate this with discipline. The Bible doesn't say the hand of correction, the rod of correction. And so we got a rod of correction. It was about this big. Is a wooden spoon. Our kids love the spoon. It's great. It's great discussions. But you know those decorations used to hang on kitchens, the wooden fork and the wooden spoon? I went and got the spoon. They should be glad I didn't get the fork. It was that thick. Well, look, whether it's big, thick, or thin and little, the point, you know, I mean, you adapt how you strike, you know. So you say, get the spoon. Ooh! I really want you to know, I did not delight in this. You may get the wrong impression in my communication. But, you know, they get it, tap, oh, the tears, it hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to pinch, you know. And you put the spoon down, and you hug on them. They know you love them. You love them. It was necessary. No chastening for the present seemeth joyous, but grievous, right? But afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So, be loving, but be responsible. Don't be lazy. I've been lazy at times. There were times, you just couldn't get up off the chair or the couch to administer the discipline that they needed. Again, you do the best that you can, and God takes care of it for you. I believe that. He doesn't expect perfection in any dad or mom. Praise the Lord for that. Because not one of us that could boast. Be responsible. Don't be lazy. Don't assume that reasoning with your young mind will accomplish what God says requires corporal admonition affecting the body. If God says it requires that, then don't assume that all the discussion, you're dealing with a younger mind that can't process and effectively deal with a lot of the instruction. Now, as they get older, more reason, some instruction behind it, why, the whys. But it's not for them to ask why and question, and you owe them an answer. No, you are the authority. So you're to communicate just obedience. Again, the same picture here in this life, in this world, of the home is that with the Heavenly Father in our lives spiritually. God doesn't expect us to question Him. Obedience. Obedience. And He'll chasten us because He loves us. But, and it seems grievous at the time, but He loves us. Nothing like a spiritual hug from your Heavenly Father. So we're teaching them. You're always teaching them. And the Bible tells us to be, to use correction. Biblical. That is a communication. I'm the boss, you're not. In the home. Now, like anything, you can take it to extreme. And the idiots, the men who bark at their wife and think they're going to do this, do that, because I'm the head honcho, or have that dominance over their children like they're a Roman dictator, you're an idiot. Your kids are going to hate you. But God tells us what to do, what not to do, to help us that our homes will be a blessing. Be spirit controlled. Be careful what you're teaching. Be steadfast in correction. Number four, be slow to speak. Yeah, I think most parents, I was guilty at times, took action or began to speak right away. The Bible guides us not to do that. We need to be thoughtful, that is, full of thought, before we spout off. Get all the facts. Amen? James chapter 1, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't be a pressure cooker that pops. Controlled. Slow to speak. Swift to hear. Get all the facts. If you've got more than one child, inevitably, you can hear the crying, the yelling, and this and that. You know, you weren't in the room. You didn't see what happened. What are you going to do? Well, little Johnny comes out and says, oh, Billy hit me. What are you going to do? Beat Billy? Billy, let me hear your side of the story. Amen? Be swift to hear. Listen. And this comes with all communication, to be a listener. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. In fact, Proverbs 13 comes to mind. 13:18. That's not the one, but I'm sure we're in the area. Proverbs 18:13. A little dyslexic there. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Look what it says. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. What's that saying? Listen up. Get the facts first. You'll be a fool. Play the fool afterwards. Because, I don't know, maybe it's happened to you, but, you know, you discipline one because the other one said the person did. Yeah, but he struck me with a needle first. Oh, I didn't know that. You play the part of a fool. Folly. We're warned to listen. Be a good listener. But by the same token, we need to be careful we don't nag our families. It'll drive them crazy. Slow to speak. Okay? We're told in several places, and ladies, this is the Bible, that's all I can say. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. There's a picture of the nagging woman. The continual dropping in a very rainy day. So, drop, 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 drop. You ever hear of waterboarding? It's a method of torture. And it'll have water. They pull the hair apart and they drop one drop on their head. They're tied, restrained. Boom, 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 boom. It'll drive you crazy. That's the points being made. Now, I know it cites the wife a couple of times, 2-3 times in the book of Proverbs on that. I'm not saying that women, you're more prone to nag than men are. God does. No. No, listen. I'm going to regret that communication. But we can nag our kids too. Drive them nuts. And again, piecing this together with instruction, with commands. You expect the child to obey, and you say, do this. They don't do it. Say, do this, do this, do this, do this. Because you've not been the responsible parent in taking care of the disobedient child. That becomes nagging in their ears and their minds. You're driving them crazy. That's because you wouldn't take action after you made a false threat, really. See, your words need to matter. And God will bless that home. There'll be instruction. There'll be order in the home. When leadership that God has ordained takes charge responsibly, lovingly, matters, goes a long ways in a home, and produces children that are responsible, and he'll carry on in the same way. All right, be slow to speak. Be volume conscious. Most often, angry words are loud words. Amen? Remember, communication is not the ability to be audible, to be heard, but the ability to be understood. And I, you know, maybe you're that rare person, but sometimes we get angry, our voices go up. It's sad when it's at the kids, you know, or at your wife, or at your husband. And be very careful about that, very volume conscious. The Bible tells us that in 15:1 of Proverbs, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stirreth up anger. Lower your voice. Generally, others will respond in kind. It's funny, I saw this yesterday. Where were we? We were in a store. I was in Walmart. And you know that long line that goes up to the checkout, self-check? So, I mean, it was the longest line. It's crazy. But as I'm walking down here to get down there to turn to come back in into that checkout area, here's this guy, and he had said something to somebody else, and the guy was getting hot over it. I'm saying, well, I'm in line. It's free entertainment. The other guy said, oh, take your volume down. Just as calmly as could be, take your volume down. It took the wind out of the guy. Oh, the Bible's true. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Speaking softly. And you'd have been graced any amount of time. You've heard of how Kalita trained John David. It was not, if she began to get angry because he was disobedient or whatnot, she would not go up in volume. She would go down. And just like with some homes, I said, get up. And all of a sudden, then the kid responds, because the volume went up, she would say, John David, I want you to do this or do that. Why would he respond to that? Because the discipline came as a result of disobedience, and it was connected with the volume down. We never did that in our home. I never went down to volume. But I tried not to go up into volume, you see. And but again, it confuses every communication when it's loud, when it's shouted. Let's get back to the words. I have to work on that. I have to work on that. I'm a preacher. You know, we get loud. Doesn't belong in a home, does it? All right. Be volume conscious. Be sweet. Be sweet. What time is it? Okay. Be sweet. Proverbs 16:24 says this. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words. Pleasant words. Now, I'm sure that on Tuesday, every fellow's here is going to do his best to have pleasant words. As he hands his wife a card, whatever. That should prevail in life, being sweet. Don't be gruff. Don't be gruff. Don't expect everybody to follow around you, bow to you, because you're this dominant personality, the dominant one in the home. Be sweet. Can fathers be sweet and still be The authority? Absolutely. Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father is. Well, He's dominant. He's God. But He's sweet with us. He's tender with us. And He's given us this love letter. We should be kind. We should be sweet. We're to be kind in our communication. Practice the golden rule adapted. Speak unto others as you would have them speak unto you. See? Instead of do unto others. How we speak, how we communicate matters. Be gruff. Be kind. Be sweet. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one toward another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness, big part of kindness. But be kind one to another. Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, all that that chapter teaches, directed particularly at women, but a great value above rubies. And it says here, speaks of her speech, her communication. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. What a difference. And we all know people that are gruff. And the ones that are really kind, they stand out. That's the way you and I are to be. And where more important would that be than in the home? Law of kindness. And by the way, speak no evil of family members. Be loyal. James chapter 4, verse 11 says this, speak not evil one of another, brethren. It's all about brethren, believers, all believers. But again, the application to the home, more important. Don't throw your family under the bus. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So protect your home. Speak evil of them. And be courteous. It goes with the sweetness and the kindness. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion, one of another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Be courteous. Has to be practiced in the home. Well, of course it'll be practiced here. You know, somebody, you're going to hold the door, somebody goes over to the family center, come in, come on in, you know. You get in line, you tend to say, well, go in front of me, you know. Well, I was going to get that last piece of cake. Oh, no, you get it, you get it, go ahead. You know, just, it's because, oh, I know. I knew it would trigger somebody. I just want to say it so that the Holy Spirit bring conviction when you're over there. Keep your words tender. You may have to eat them. I guess that's all the time we have. We'll finish up these next week. Father, thank you for the instruction of the Word of God helping us, Lord. Communication is such an important thing. That's why you gave us this book. It's your communication to us. We might know you, about you, your plans, how we fit in, how we are in relationship to you, how can we be your children, and how to please you as Heavenly Father. Thank you for communication. Thank you for this book helping us to be better communicators in our homes in particular, but everywhere. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.